Our next story is about a guy who is amazing. But don't take it from me. Take it from Ellen.
I can't believe you're a professional football player and then you do this. You're amazing.
You know what? It's a pretty good gig.
Yeah. His name is John Dornbos. He played in the NFL from 2003 to 2016, and he might be even more impressive as a magician.
I tell you what, there's one, there's two, there's three, and then there's all four threes for you. I thought we'd bust them all out. No, hold on.
John Dornbos is known for his upbeat, positive energy in front of the camera, but he came to both football and magic through tragedy. Only a Game's Martin Kessler has this story.
When 12-year-old John Dornbos woke up for baseball camp on the morning of August 3rd, 1992, two things were unusual. First, all his gear was out on the table, not where it normally was, in the garage. And also, his dad was there, but not his mom.
I said, hey, where's mom?
John's dad said she'd gone swimming.
And I didn't think anything of it. And I, at 12 years old, I don't think you read too much into stuff like that.
John got a ride from some friends. Later on, while he was at camp, his coach approached him.
Yeah, he kind of came over ghostface and said, hey, John, your friends are here. They're going to pick you up. There'd been an accident. You got to go. And I said, okay, yeah, no problem.
John thought maybe his dad had got hurt playing soccer. There's no way he could have predicted what had really happened, because as far as he knew, he'd grown up in a happy family. John's dad was the president of his little league in Woodinville, Washington. They'd play catch every day. John remembers seeing his dad coming into the kitchen to find his mom.
He would grab her and sneak her away, and they would go into the pantry and close the door and turn the light off. And never once did I ever wonder what they were doing in there. And then I got older and I was like, oh my gosh, they were totally making out.
You're like, I mean, that is where they keep the cookies. So it makes sense.
Yeah, right. Totally.
So as John was driven from baseball camp to the police station, he was unprepared for what he was about to learn. And just a warning that what you're about to hear is disturbing.
They said your parents last night got in an argument and your mom was pushed down some steps and she didn't make it. And right now your dad is in jail and he's being held for questioning and we're trying to get answers and figure out what happened. Wait, what? Yeah, your parents got in an argument and your mom died. You don't really know how to react to that, right? So you're just sitting there and you just get cold. And I couldn't tell you if I was in that room for 5 minutes, an hour, all day. I have no idea. And at that time, you know, I don't think there was a lot of information. And I think they didn't really know what to tell me. Mm-hmm. And the reality was my mom was not pushed. You know, my dad used a bench grinder and a sledgehammer. And it was bad. And it happened in the garage.
John's father had spent the previous night trying to clean up the evidence. But after John left for baseball camp, he turned himself into police.
I remember seeing, you know, my family's name on the front of the newspaper, turn on the TV, and it was all over the news. And I just remember being embarrassed. Mm. Like, I remember being embarrassed for my family name. And, you know, I would go to school, and I felt like there was a lot of times where people just didn't really know how to act around me.
John didn't know it then, but that concern for his family name would drive many of his decisions in the years to come. John's father was convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced to 13 years and 8 months in prison. John was there throughout the trial.
I would sit outside and just started devouring my fingernails, and I had all this nervous energy. I mean, I would bite my nails to where they would bleed. I'd bite my nails to where when you'd look at my finger, it was like a stump, and like you'd just see like ratted-up cuticles. They were disgusting.
Almost a year after the murder, John and his sister moved to Southern California to live with their aunt. John cut off contact with his dad. He wouldn't see him for another 26 years. Not long after the move, John returned to Washington for a Little League All-Star tournament. He stayed at his coach's house.
And the neighbor across the street was a 16-year-old magician. And so they said, hey, look, this kid's been through a lot. Like, maybe you can just come over and do like 30 minutes of magic and maybe it'll cheer him up. So sure enough, the kid comes over and it got me. You know, he lit a match and looked at it and the flame went like 10, 15 feet high. You know, he took a sponge ball. He put one sponge ball in my hand. He took one. It disappeared. And when I opened my hand, I had both of them. It was just this cool world of like, how is this possible? It's magic. from that moment on, I was hooked. They took me to the magic shop in Seattle. They got me a book. They got me, you know, a couple tricks. Magic for me was my escape. It was my out. Magic for me was the one time that if I sat at a table and I was working on a trick, all the chatter and the evil of the world, it just quieted. And I felt like I was just a kid in that moment. I wasn't thinking about my dad going to prison. I wasn't thinking about my mom being killed. I wasn't thinking about moving and having to start new friends. The world just became a really cool place for me.
John got good quickly. Because he didn't want people noticing his chewed up fingernails, he developed a fast pace. In the eighth grade, he won his school's talent show. He then started at Pacifica High School in Garden Grove.
So I'm in high school, and my buddy comes out to me and says, hey, you know, you're a big kid. Like, you should play football. No way, man. Football's for dorks. I like magic. and then sure enough, he's like, but you can hit that guy and not get in trouble. Look, I had a lot of anger built up in me. I had a lot of questions and a lot of resentment. Yeah, let's give that a shot.
So John joined the football team. He played linebacker, and he loved that too.
And I had these two outlets, shuffle cards. I'd listen to track number 9 on repeat, Felista from Yanni, all night. And then during the day, I would play football, right? It was just this perfect balance.
Magic was John's escape, but sports gave John a sense of family. And he thought, a way to bring positive attention back to his family name.
When you play sports, you have your name on your back, and the whole world can see it.
John could have pursued college baseball, but he was set on football because he wanted to be a rock star. He wanted to run out onto the field for a Division I team in front of 100,000 people. But there was a problem with this plan.
Look, here's the deal. I thought I was the greatest high school player ever. Clearly, obviously. problem is, apparently not one college coach agreed with me. And so, no offers, no looks.
John says there were some good junior college teams that wanted him. But the one that got his attention was called Golden West in nearby Huntington Beach.
Golden West could barely field a team, and they were 0-30. They hadn't won a game in 3 years.
John thought of something a coach had told him.
All you got to do is get on the field, and they'll find you.
So John played for Golden West. They lost another 10 straight. But he was still set on playing Division I football.
So I asked the coaches for some game film, and I was going to put together my own highlight tape and send it out. And so I made my highlight tape, and it was good.
But John figured it would be even better if he worked some VCR magic and edited in a few plays from his Golden West teammate, who was a harder hitter.
You know, the film's a little grainy, and who could tell who's who?
John also edited in some clips from the team's long snapper. That's the guy who hikes the ball for punts and kicks. It's a highly skilled position that John had played in high school.
So now I got a highlight tape with a lot of my highlights, you know, a few of Nick's big hits, and then a few of Tim's really, really good snaps. So sure enough, I got a scholarship to be a long snapper.
John was headed to the Division I University of Texas at El Paso.
Figured out how to do it really, really quick, and I had a knack for it, but I had to fine-tune it.
Was any part of you scared that you would get discovered as a sort of fraud?
No, I was never scared I was going to get discovered because I truly didn't view myself as a fraud. You know? And I think that's kind of important to say because I knew I could do it. I had done it in high school, and I felt like I deserved to be there.
After 3 seasons at UTEP, John was considered a top NFL long-snapping prospect. How do you think all the time you'd spent on magic helped you become a great long-snapper?
Magic, actually, it got me obsessed with doing something over and over and over in search of the perfect rep, but loving that process. That's what magic's about, and that's what snapping's about. It's about taking something and just doing it 10,000 times, a million times, until it's right.
John signed with the Buffalo Bills in 2003. From 2006 to 2016, he snapped for the Philadelphia Eagles. Twice he went to the Pro Bowl. And the whole time, John kept up the magic. He'd perform card tricks for his teammates in the locker room. Ahead of the 2016 NFL season, John auditioned for the TV show America's Got Talent. He didn't tell the Eagles. He figured he'd either drop out or be eliminated before it started to conflict with his day job. But during one of the early tapings, John got the golden buzzer. That meant he was fast-tracked to the show's later rounds. So as John got ready for Eagles training camp, a few episodes of the show had already aired, and he still hadn't had a conversation about it with the Eagles.
NBC, thinks the Eagles just excused me from training camp. Now, meanwhile, the Eagles have no idea what's going on. And so I was like, oh gosh, here we go. I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, okay, I'm just going to show up to training camp and we'll see what they say.
When John arrived, Jeffrey Lurie, the team owner, and other Eagles higher-ups were there.
And they said, why didn't you tell us you're doing this? This is awesome.
They wanted John to keep competing on the show, even though the football season was starting. And they had some pretty persuasive logic.
They were like, look, magic's your life. And let's be honest, it's not like you're the quarterback. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're a long snapper.
Still, John wasn't going to shirk on his Eagles duties.
I would go to training camp at 8 in the morning. My day would end at about 5. And there was like a 6 or 6:30 flight to L.A. So I'd run to the airport and I would land, shoot some B-roll, do a rehearsal, hit a meeting. And then I'd go back to LAX. And at 10:30, I would hit that red eye that would land at 7:15 in the morning. And then I would go right from the airport to my 8 o'clock meeting. And I would kind of repeat that cycle on any days necessary.
On September 11th, 2016, John started at long snapper in the Eagles' season opening win over the Browns. Then a few days later, he competed in the finale of America's Got Talent. He finished in third place. Looking back now, John calls it the coolest time of his life.
I never wanted to say no to anything. And so even if it was like, hey, John, do you think you can be in LA and just do this hour interview? Yeah, I'll be there. And I think it comes back to that sense of, I wanted people to hear my name. I wanted people to say my name. And I wanted people to associate good things with it.
John Dorenbos last played in the NFL in 2016. In 2017, he married his wife, Annalise. Their daughter was born this year. John now regularly performs on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. And one last thing. A few years ago, John stopped biting his fingernails.
That's Only a Game's Martin Kessler. For much more on the life of John Dorenbos, including his recent conversation with his dad, check out his new book with Larry Platt, Life is Magic, My Inspiring Journey from Tragedy to Self-Discovery.